Go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark 6, look at verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, please, I know the end purpose for us is what you give us to pass it on to someone else. So please, I know before that happens, we have to apply it to our lives, and then we can give it to others. So Father, strengthen us tonight, please. Please, Lord, for your glory and your honor, teach us so we can be more usable. In Jesus' name, amen. The coronavirus has taught me a lot as a pastor. Here's one of the things that the coronavirus has taught me. You've heard me say this before, but when we got into about April, we started learning after March that we had been lied to and things were manipulated. I said, I'm sick of this. I'm ready to go to jail. I had a meeting with our men, and it was very helpful to me as a pastor. Very helpful. And I said, I'm ready to go to jail. They're saying that the police are not happy to lock up pastors. They're just, it's not, the police don't make the rules. You understand? The state troopers are enforcing it right now. That's, I understand all that. But they said they're uneasy about arresting pastors, and they said the churches that are handling this well have it set up to where if they come in and they get the pastor and take him out, and they say, this church needs to shut down right now, that another man is cued automatically to come up and he starts preaching. And then if they take him out, then the church has it set, number three in row. If he's taken out, then somebody else will come up here. We'll start preaching. And if you keep doing that, they say eventually they don't have room in the jail for everybody. Well, and you know, that's pretty bold if you're ready for it, right? That was the first time we'd ever talked like that in our church. And I started realizing as a pastor, we weren't ready for it. We were not ready. And I learned so much. And ever since then, I have been trying to put things in the preaching so that I hope it doesn't happen again, but I'm more a realist than I am positive, okay? So I'm trying to prepare us for it to happen again. And I'm trying to put things in the preaching so that when it happens, let's say they shut down church again, okay? If you have church, you're going to jail and blah, 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 blah. If our church could not meet, are you preparing for God to use you in your neighborhood? You know, when persecution broke out, the apostles, they went everywhere starting churches. Sometimes it takes that. And the church at Jerusalem wouldn't do what they were told. They were told to go in to preach the gospel to the whole world. They didn't move until persecution came. Sometimes God has to put a little fire under our tail. Okay, I understand all that. But if that did come, I've often thought, I've looked at the map back there and I think, I know who lives there. I know who lives there. Hello here, our church is right here. I know who lives down here and over here. Could God use you in your neighborhood? I heard somebody say this 2 years ago. I've never discipled anybody. I heard somebody say in our church, which is fine, everybody's got to grow, I've never led anybody to Christ. If you haven't led anybody to Christ, great, I hope you're preparing to. How about this for a thought? I've always heard say, God won't use you beyond what you prepare to be used for. Philippians 1:6, all right? He started a work in you, and he's going to finish it, but he can't do what you don't prepare for. Abraham Lincoln said, I will prepare myself, and my day will come. And God has a prepared place for a prepared man. Thought. I know maybe I'm dreaming as a pastor, okay? But let's just go to one of my dreams here. All right, you ready? If a tour bus of 60 people saw our church, and they were traveling through the area, and they decided to stop and have church. And they pulled that tour bus up here and Boy, they made it here just in church for just in time for church. And all of a sudden, this whole building was flooded with people, the auditorium. And boy, I'm sitting here going, wow, this is exciting, right? I wouldn't be, hey, y'all get out of here. We ain't got room. I'd be, boy, let's make room. This would be exciting. Well, what's the next thing that I'd be concerned about? And I hope you would too. Are they saved? Could we take, if I preached a message on salvation, and I probably would, especially if I knew they didn't, you know, if this was just a group of tourists coming through and they're just enjoying Maryland, and boy, they stopped in. Well, just go with me for a second. If they came in here, could I give you two people and you go to the back of the church, and could I give you two people and you go to the other side, and could I give you and maybe three people and you go in this room here, and could I give you three people and you go in this room here, and I could give you two people and you come up here on the platform and you show them the Bible, and could I give you three people and you take them back there to that court? Could you lead somebody to Christ? There are some that can, there are some that can't. God won't give you what you don't prepare for. That's why we have decision slips. These get filled out when people join the church, when they get baptized. But as far as decisions made, no, we don't have a lot in our church. That's fine. That's because I don't push for it. But I got decision slips up here in case somebody comes forward and gets saved. They're right here and they're right there. I want to be prepared. If God wanted to do something here, could He? Let me ask you as a Christian, what are you preparing for God? I'm all for prepping, okay? Joseph did, right? He prepared for 7 years famine. God says, consider the ant, thou sluggard. Go to her, and she provides her meat in the summer for winter. So I don't think prepping is wrong. If you can get some extra food, I think you should. If you can plant a garden, I think you should. I think the food shortage is real. Okay, I think it's going to get worse. But I don't think you ought to spend money you don't have. Let me go back to that's physically prepping. Are you doing anything spiritual to prepare for God to use you in the future? Are you memorizing Bible verses? I'm going to give you one topic tonight. If you led somebody to Christ, what would be the first thing you would teach them? There's not a right or wrong answer. I'm going to give you what I would teach them. If somebody in my neighborhood got scared over what's going on in America, and they came knocking on my door, you're a pastor, and I just would like some answers, and boy, I'll help anybody that wants help. Amen? All they got to do is ask. Could you help somebody? Could you give them more than food? Could you help them spiritually? Are you preparing for that? That's on my mind constantly. What could God use you to do in a painful or hurtful disaster? Here's one. I would teach the first thing. Let's say church is banned. We've all been there before. Okay. Can't go to church. But you get to lead somebody to Christ. What would be the first thing you would want to teach them? I think what we're going to cover tonight. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus said, it's important that you come apart and rest. Your time with the Lord is the most important thing after you get saved. The woman at the well, she had no church to go to yet, and she didn't get baptized. But what did she do? She spent time with Jesus, and he learned he was the living water. Right? And then she went out. The first thing I would teach somebody, if I got to lead somebody to the Lord, is now let me show you how to spend time with God. If you say, well, preacher, I already know how to do this. Or how about this? I've already heard this before. Then I'll ask you this question. Could you teach someone how to spend time with God? Could you take, if I said, hey, could you take this person here? They're asking questions about how to read their Bible and walking with the Lord and how to pray. Can you take this person and just go give them a little Bible study? Show them the Bible. What's the first verse you would show them? Okay? You don't have to take heavy notes tonight. Let me show you what I would show them. Okay? Go to John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1. There are many lessons that you could pull from John chapter 1. I realize that, but I'm going to stay on a Christian spending a quiet time with God, and it's important now that you're a child of God. Look at John chapter 1. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That word, capital W, I would show them verse 1. Three times the word is capitalized. Word is capitalized with a capital W. Who's the Word? Who was God? Look at verse 14. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So the first thing I think that you need to know as a Christian, and you can't know this, you can't get saved without knowing this, is first of all, the Word was made flesh. That's Jesus Christ. He was God. The second obvious truth I'll tell you is this. I would link John chapter 1 with, now go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. When I was in the Marine Corps, I had a field Bible that I carried in my pocket. Print was super small, but it was snapped. I had a New Testament that I kept in my backpack. And then I had my Bible that I took to church. And the man that taught me soul winning said, you should always have a Bible for yourself and a Bible to give somebody. He said, always carry a spare. Doesn't have to be a big one like your regular one, but always have a Bible that you can give someone you lead to the Lord. Now, watch this. Look at Revelation 19, verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Wow, that's the name of Jesus. So here's what I would teach someone that I just led to the Lord. I would say, that book will mean as much to you as Jesus. And that book is Jesus. And you don't love Jesus without loving that book, your Bible. Because he's the Word who was God, and his name is called the Word of God. Your time with your Bible is one of the most important times because it is your time with Jesus. And when you read the Bible, that's Jesus talking to you. And when you pray, that's you talking to Jesus. This would be one of the first verses I would show. No, you have to spend time in your Bible. You need a time where you love Jesus. And you love him enough to spend time with him. Most people, it's the morning. I tried to read the Bible when I got up. I short-circuited on Jesus. I found out I need to put water on my face and take a shower. Amen. I need my blood circulating, and I like a cup of coffee. Amen. All right. Some people will read their Bible before they go to bed. I have no problem. I just highly suggest you don't do it laying down. You're going to get drool marks all over it. Okay, you're going to at least have a place. But do you have a place where you read your Bible? It's very important for you as a Christian. Well, I read it on Sunday. I don't know what to tell you other than God pity you. You eat at least twice a day, some three times, some more than that. But you got to have food or you eventually wither away. And if you ate physically, like you eat spiritually, you'd starve to death. You have to read your Bible. It's your time with the Lord. What else would I show them? I'm talking about one subject. Now that you're saved, you need to spend time with God. You don't spend time with... You can. Everything centers around the Bible. Meditation, reading, singing, memorizing. Everything centers around that book because that book, if it's a King James Bible, that book is Jesus. That is the written word. He's the living word. That book, Jesus is that book alive. That's how important your Bible is. What else would I show them? I would take them to, go to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. If I give you a fish, I fed you for one meal, right? But if I teach you to fish, I fed you for a lifetime. If I read the Bible with you, I fed you spiritually one time, but if I teach you to study the Bible, I got to feed you for a lifetime, right? If I teach you to find God for yourself in reading his word and praying, then I have fed you for a lifetime. I like what somebody sent me, you know, along those lines. If you buy someone a ticket, they will fly one time in their life for a plane ticket. but if you push them out of the airplane, they'll fly for the rest of their life. That was cheap, sorry, but that was free. That was okay, let's go back to the lesson here. Ready? Have you ever noticed, before we read Exodus chapter 16, it has one of the most beautiful Bible reading applications, I think, of many of the stories in the Bible. But have you ever noticed how opposite physical food and spiritual food is? The more you eat physical food, the less you want it. Well, for a while. Because you get full, right? But the more spiritual food you eat, the more you want it. The more preaching you hear and the more Bible you read, the more you want it, because it creates a desire. Okay. The more you stay away from physical food, the more you want it, because you get hungry, right? Have you ever noticed the more you stay away from spiritual food, the less you want it? That's why when somebody doesn't want to go to church, it's a sign that they need church. Amen? You don't go to church because you want to. You go to church because you need it. Amen? As far as, well, you know, I've heard this statement. I just go to the church that needs me the most. I was like, what about you needing God? What do you mean a church that needs... God doesn't need you. Go outside and look at the sky. It rotates without you. And after you die, it's going to keep on rotating. Nothing... What do you mean God needs me? God doesn't need me. It's a privilege to live for Him and serve Him. Amen? But that thinking is the more you... This is why faithfulness and you reading your Bible is so important. The more you read it, the more it helps you, and the more it changes you, and the more it increases your desire for the Bible. And the more you stay away from it, the more you think you can. That's what's dangerous. It's almost like the devil gives you a Novocaine. They showed a new guy who was in the trucking field, and he got out of his truck and he grabbed the smokestack right behind. Well, it was almost glowing red, and it burned his hand so badly it seared it to the steel, and then the anesthetization happened, and his arm went numb. Well, until he pulled his arm off of the smokestack, it was still burning. It's kind of like when you get into sin, the devil gives you an injection of Novocaine so that you don't pull out like you should. And it keeps destroying you. When you don't read your Bible, and when you don't involve yourself in spiritual things, it's kind of like you get that Novocaine, you think, I'm fine, and you don't understand that you're spiritually depleting yourself. All right. Spiritual food and physical food. Interesting. You're in Exodus chapter 16. Watch this. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day, the second month after the departing of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. I'm so hungry, I wish I was back in slavery. It says here, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall watch. Go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So God said, for the next 40 years, I'm going to rain every morning. I'm going to give you the calories that you need in bread coming down from heaven. I'm going to rain manna. So when you get up in the morning, 5:30, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, you step outside your tent, the whole ground will be covered with enough food to feed you. You're going to take a bowl. You're going to gather it up. And I thought this was interesting. God says, I will sustain you with food from heaven. And then look at verse number 5. It shall come to pass on the sixth day, they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. For that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that you murmur against us? I just thought that was interesting. When you go out and gather the food, that's when you'll see the glory of the Lord. Keep that in mind. As I would show somebody this, We'll skip down to verse 12. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Look at verse 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Watch. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an homer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. I have written in my Bible, Daddy's supposed to gather it for his household. The man was supposed to go outside and gather it for each person that he was to provide for. You say, what's this have to do with the tea in China? Watch. It says here, verse 17, And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And it says, And when they did meet it with a homer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered it every man according to his eating. Now, remember this story. Now go to John chapter 6. You say, well, that's Israel in the Old Testament. I know, but it's one of the most beautiful pictures that Jesus gave us of gathering the Word of God and bread for ourselves. Because watch, John chapter 6, look at verse 32. Look at verse 32. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. For 40 years, what was falling from heaven was a picture of Jesus Christ. And he said, I was that bread. That was a picture of me. Just like this book is the Word of God, and his name is the Word of God, God said, and he gives us this beautiful picture, you're to go out every morning and gather Jesus for the day. And it spiritually empowers you and helps you. What would you show somebody if you led them to Christ and say, you don't understand, reading your Bible every day is vital. I make this statement after I read John 6 and Exodus 16. God expects you to. I think it angers God when you starve yourself spiritually, just like he got upset with the Israelites. What do you mean? I put it on the ground for you. What do you mean? I give you a book. It's illegal in some countries. It's legal here. How come you don't read it? Right? He said, I was that bread. That was a picture of me. Let's just stay here in John 6 just for a second. Look down at verse 48. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He says it again in verse 51. I am the living bread which came down, past tense, from heaven. I'm telling you, that was a picture of me. And you're worshiping Moses, and you think, I'm telling you, that is a picture. God said, every man is to go out and gather enough for his eating. How much are you supposed to read the Bible? You're supposed to read the Bible till your heart burns. You need to read the Bible every day, every morning. You need to go out and gather strength for the day so you can... Then what's the rest of the chapter? When you start looking here at John chapter 6, it says here... Watch this. Finish verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You're supposed to feed yourself spiritually. Now that you're saved, you need to read the Bible every morning. You need it or you're going to starve yourself spiritually. It's very important. Now, watch this. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 31. 1 Corinthians 15, 31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. What do you mean I die daily? You know he's not talking physically, because you can't die every day, right? What does he mean, I die daily as a Christian? Okay, now let me take you back to John 6. Look at John chapter 6, verse 63. Okay, John chapter 6, and look at verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Their spirit and their life. I die daily. You say, okay, what's the link? Most would go out right now and look at the trees. They have green leaves on them. And you would say, oh, the trees are alive. Winter's going to come in a couple of months. Everything falls to the ground except the pine trees. And you'd say, oh, the trees look dead. And honestly, we have it backwards. Right now, the trees are spending the energy that they got in the winter when their leaves weren't on the trees and the sap came up and they're dying right now. They're giving of themselves. The leaves have to fall off the trees. It takes winter for them to build back up again. And then next spring, they'll start to die again and spend themselves. When I plug my razor in, it's getting life. It's living. When I unplug it, I know it looks like you don't use a razor. your razor always stays plugged in. But if I was using it, it would be dying. It would be giving its energy that was stored in it. When the Apostle Paul said, I die daily, he was saying, I give of myself in service to others. I let God use me and I die. Stay with me. If I'm dying daily, you can't give out and God can't use you if you don't put in for God to use you. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Reading your Bible is like breathing. That's spirit. It energizes you. Think of a balloon that gets getting pumped up. When you read the Bible, it's filling you. It's just like this. When I read my Bible, then I go out into the world and I have something to give. Then I go back the next day and the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And I read and I inhale, and then I go into the world, and I exhale and serve and die. I know Christians who don't read their Bible. They don't put in, so they have nothing to give out. And soul winning becomes easier and more natural if you'll put in so you have something to give. Imagine a Christian walking around that never inhales.
Hi, how you doing? Good to see you.
I'm exaggerating right now, but I think you get the point. I know some Christians who take it so far, all they do is inhale. They study, and never give out. Try doing that. You get the picture? You're supposed to read your Bible and breathe spiritually every day. And if you would read your Bible and spend time in the Word of God, you would find talking about the Lord and witnessing for God, exhaling's a lot easier when you inhale. But if you don't have anything inside of you, yeah, I'd say it's pretty hard to talk about the Lord. The words that I speak unto you, those words, it's your spirit and it's your life. It's life. It's the, okay, let's take John 6:63. I'm using 1 Corinthians 15:30, 31, I die daily, and John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and their life. That book, you reading it, if I'm showing somebody John 6:63, if you underline the word life, that is the only thing you can do on this earth that puts life back in you. Everything else, work. You're in a process. We're all in a process of dying. I don't know if you know that or not. We're all, when you were born, you started a dying process. Your body is breaking down. You reading your Bible is important because it is the only thing you do that gives you life and energy and puts things back into you. I like what one person said, if they took everything from me, I would hope they wouldn't take my Bible. I feel like if I had my Bible, I could make it. You know what the communists over in Russia have said? We're preparing for them to take our Bible so we memorize it. You know what they did in the Waldensian churches in the Alps? Every family was given a book of the Bible to memorize. You memorize Ephesians, you memorize Colossians, you memorize the book of Romans, your family, you memorize the book of 1 Corinthians, you memorize the book of Jude and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you memorize the book of Hebrews, because the soldiers would come regularly and search the homes and clear them out of the Bibles. They would raid the churches regularly and burn the Bibles. And guess what they did the next day? As they would, churches would gather in the caves, they'd say, okay, you had that book memorized? Could you stand and quote it? And this person over here is going to start writing. Okay, what was the book of Ephesians next? If they took your Bible from you, how much would you have memorized? It was one of the first books burned in Germany in the Nazi takeover. It's the only book they seek to destroy. Because if you can't read your Bible, then you're easier to control. You can't think for yourself. Right? That book is vital. That book is spirit and it is life. Tonight, I wanted to take a topic, and I wanted to say, if you led somebody to the Lord, what would be one of the first things you would want to teach them? I realize in teaching you this, to pass it on, I'm teaching you, right? But I don't think you should freak out. Oh, you want me to take my Bible? Then could you take notes, make a little square in your Bible, and put the verses? And then have you ever prayed for God to use you in the life of other people? Lord, could you give me one person to lead to you? Please give me fruit. Give my life fruit. And Lord, help me to be a help. Use me in the lives of other people. Are you preparing for God to use you? Could you show somebody with your Bible how important it is for them to read the Bible for themselves now that they're saved? I hope it's a help to you, trying to prepare for God to use you. Let's pray. Father, please, I know it was a simple subject, but Lord, please, I know what you give us, you want us to give to others.